Well, I couldn't preach last night. I was sick. And I was really too sick to be here, but I hadn't got to hear Samson preach. I never have. And so I tried to stay for that. And boy, did a good job. Where are you, Samson? There you are. Man, you did a good job last night. I appreciate that. And Brother Stalker, I missed him, but that wasn't no big deal for me. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I'd heard it before a few times, and it's good every time I hear it, praise the Lord. And I bet it was good last night, too. I want to thank you for y'all's kindness to us and how you're taking care of us and your church, your pastor. He's a friend of ours indeed. We appreciate you and the church and everything that you've done, Brother Ryman. And Brother Stalker wanted me to thank y'all for him, too, because he was too whatever to do it last night. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. He just forgot, and he asked me to thank y'all for him, too. So we really do. We thank you and appreciate it. These are my friends right here, these guys, and Brother Ryman back here. And our circle's getting smaller all the time. But I enjoy being around them. I enjoy preaching with them a little bit, see what the Lord will do. Well, if you got your Bible tonight, turn to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2. I was looking out here at the cemetery today, and I was telling the guys at supper tonight a story about that. But I come by here, and the gravestones out there reminded me of it, of a man walking through a cemetery one day, and he saw a man hung on a tombstone. He was hanging on the tombstone and crying, just sobbing and crying. Why did he have to die? Why did he have to die? And a guy came up. He said, sir, you all right? He said, yeah, but why did he have to die? He said, whose grave is that? Is that your daddy's? He said, no, sir. He said, is that your brother's? He said, no, sir. He said, well, who was it then? You crying like that? He says, my wife's first husband. Amen. 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 It probably won't get no better than that. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. They say before you get married, you love so much, you could just eat them up, amen? And then after you've been married a few years, you wish you had, amen? Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, and he is precious. Amen. Ye also, he said, not just him though, but you too. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. It says in verse 8, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. I'll preach about that for a few minutes tonight. Brother and sister, he said, Brother Mark's got a good sermon on stones or rocks. I don't know if he's preached it up here, but it's a good one. And mine's not along that line, and mine's not near as good as his. But at any rate, this is my message on the stones. The Bible says there that we are lively stones and that we build up a spiritual house. And all of us make up a spiritual house, but I'm going to drop it down a little bit lower tonight. I'm going to drop it down to the local church, not just the body of Christ. There's stones in this church, too. And every one of you in the building tonight will fit in one of these categories, and you can pick out which one you are. Amen? The Bible says Jesus Christ is the solid rock. Amen. I like that. He's the stone of Psalms 40. Bible says he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Amen. And hath established my goings and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. He's that stone. He's the stone, Daniel 2, that's made without hands. Jesus Christ is our rock. I like that. Bible says he's our rock in Numbers 32 that's not like their rock. Thank God he ain't like their rock. Amen. I'm glad of that. Bible says he's a rock of offense. If you don't think he is, take him to school. Take him down there where you work if you don't think he is. But thank God the Bible says he's also the rock of ages who cleft for me many a times and hid me, brother and sister, from the things of this world. Now listen, there's stones also that make up the local church, and I'm going to give you some of them here tonight. Number one, there's a cornerstone. Say, what is that? It's Jesus Christ. It says it right there. If it ain't built on him and his word, brother and sister, it really ain't a church. Amen. The church is built on Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone. Yeah. I love singing. I like singing. I like being around it. I like to hear people sing. I like to hear people shout, but church ain't built on singing. I've seen two or three that was built on singing, and they don't last long. They don't go anywhere. It's not built on our name either, on the great Baptist name. Thank God for Baptists. I'm a Baptist. When the Lord shouts for me, I'll be a Baptist. Amen? But it ain't built on the Baptist name either. It's built on Jesus. It's not built on our families. But we have some of the best families in this church. Well, thank God. I'm glad. We got some good ones in ours. But if your church is built on your families that are in it, it ain't going to amount to much. It's not built on skits and dramas. It's not built on how friendly we are. Oh, that's the friendliest little church down there. Amen. It ain't built on anything. It ain't built on our youth program. Everybody comes to church now and wants to know what kind of program you have for the youth. Do you have a good youth program? Brother, we really do. We got King James Bible preaching, good singing. That's a good youth program. Say, well, I was looking for another. Hey, Reform School has a youth program.
Amen.
Go down and get you one of them. When you say Jesus Christ, you might as well say his word, because you can't hardly separate the two.
Amen.
The Bible said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. It's hard to separate those two. It was him. The church is not built on Christ's name either. It's built on Christ.
Yeah,
and a lot of churches got Christ's name on it that ain't churches of Christ, if you know what I mean. Amen. It's built on Jesus Christ. Well, brother, sister, he's the cornerstone. And when you have a cornerstone, everything in a building is measured by that. Everything in a building has to line up with the cornerstone. And if it don't line up with the cornerstone, it ain't going to work. He's the cornerstone. And I'll tell you something else. You don't pick just any random stone out of a building and measure up to it. People are crazy. He's the cornerstone. But you know what they want to do when you talk about your church? They want to say, well, so-and-so goes down there. I'm just as good as he is. Or I'm just as good as she is. Hey, they're not the cornerstone. You have to line up with the cornerstone. You can't just pick out any knucklehead in the church and line up with him.
Amen.
The Bible says comparing yourselves among yourselves, you're not wise. You ain't got to worry. Well, I'm as good as... Well, so-and-so's not the standard.
Amen.
The standard's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One of these days you will be weighed.
Amen.
But when you step in the scale... Brother Mark ain't going to be on the other side.
Yeah.
Brother Stalker ain't going to be on the other side. It's going to be Christ that gets in the other side.
Yeah.
Brother, sister, how are you going to measure up then?
Yeah.
People get the idea you're going to just measure up. And they always pick the sorriest bird in the church.
Yeah.
They don't ever pick your best church member. They always pick your sorriest ones.
Yeah.
Say, well, I'm as good as they are. You probably are.
Yeah.
Like that woman, she said, we're talking about being a submission to your husband. She said, I can't submit to him. I married Mr. Idiot. And the guy said, well, I guess that makes you Miss Idiot then, don't it? Amen. But the church is built on Jesus Christ. When you have a cornerstone, everything in the building has to line up with it. You check your alignment with his word. That's how you check your alignment to see if you're in line with him, brother and sister. His word, brother, the Bible is your plumb line. In Amos chapter 7, verse 7, the Bible is your plumb line. And you know what it'll do? A plumb line will keep you in line with a cornerstone.
Amen.
It'll keep you lined up there where you're supposed to be. We have a friend. I guess he's here tonight. Brother Charlie Tenney. He ain't here tonight, is he? But he's a surveyor. He used to survey. He survey above ground. He survey underground. He's licensed and qualified to down them coal mines and things. He can go down there and survey and line things up straight. He said when they started out, they start out with a $10 plumb bub. $10 plumb bub, and you lined everything up with that plumb bub. And he said that's all they had back then when they first started. But you know what he told us one night? He told us, he said, now they have $300 machines that line you up. And boy, they'll line you up just as perfect and straight as they can be. But he said, you know how we calibrate them? With a $10 plumb bob. To make sure they're straight. Listen, they got brand new Bibles right now. They got brand new commentaries. They got good study books. I mean, you can spend thousands of dollars. But you know how we check the alignment? With an old $10 King James Bible, amen? Check them with a plumb bob. That's how you check them. Everything, if it don't line up with this, it ain't a Bible. If it don't line up with this, it's not a good commentary. We check everything with it, Jesus Christ being our cornerstone. That's why we don't teach work salvation. Don't line up with the cornerstone. That's why we don't teach there's just 3.5 years tribulation left. That don't line up with the cornerstone. Amen. That's why we don't rebaptize Baptists when they join our church. That don't line up with the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone. I like that. I will say number two, he's the cornerstone. But then, boy, when you build a church, there's some foundation stones that have to go in. Oh, they're the first ones there. And brother, sister, I'm telling you, and you know what the foundation, they're people who didn't mind getting in line with the cornerstone and lining up with him to have a church here. These are the folks who are willing, brother, sister, to do that. They're limber. They're not set in their ways. You can teach them. You know what they're interested in? They're interested in the church being here tomorrow. They're interested in the church being here for your kids and for your grandkids down the road. They want to see this church do well, and they'll do whatever they have to line up and build this church. And boy, you got something here, I'll guarantee you. You got something here in this church right now tonight. I don't know who all of them are, Brother Ryman does, but they've been with him since day one. Boy, they're the foundation stones to the church. You got some here tonight, brother, sister, and you got some who are gone now. They used to be in here. They were foundation stones, but they're not here anymore. We got some of those early ones that was in our church that helped us get that thing off the ground. They're not here anymore. But boy, I'm telling you, they were the foundation stones for our church. And we're grateful for them, grateful to have them. Some of you can think back right now to who the foundation was for your spiritual life. Some of you is a daddy, some of you a mama, some of you a grandma, a grandpa, maybe a preacher somewhere. But brother, sister, everybody in here knows who the foundation of your house was. And lots of times it was mama. It wasn't daddy. I tell some of our men, some of you are going to get to heaven and be known as so-and-so's husband. You know what they do? They put the church ahead of themselves. You got a choir right here. You got some people who are foundation that thing. You got a church here. There'll be people that are foundations for it. You have a good campus next year. There'll be people who are foundation, brother, sister. All these things are made of foundations of people. And they didn't mind putting the Lord first and lining up with the cornerstone, brother, sister, and lining up with the pastor and building a church. Well, that's the foundation. The cornerstone and the foundation stones. But there's some more stones in the church. There's stumbling stones. Romans chapter 14, he said, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. He said he wouldn't drink wine or eat meat or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. Boy, I see it all the time. I see it everywhere I go. We go out witnessing. We go out visiting. And somebody say, does so-and-so go to your church?
I start praying.
Hey, you get out here. Does so-and-so go to your church? Yeah, well, if he goes there, I'm all right where I'm at.
Yeah, that's right.
If they go to your church, if that's the best you can do, I'll be all right. Yeah. Listen, brother, sister, every time you lay out a church, you call somebody to stumble.
Yeah.
Every time you blow your top, you call somebody to stumble.
Yeah.
Every time you cuss, you say, we don't cuss. Oh, yeah, I know you don't, about like some of my folks don't.
Yeah.
Every time you cuss, you call somebody to stumble. Upon, we don't cuss no more. I mean, we're saved. But married couples, we have pot and door cussing.
Yep, come on.
That's what Christian married people do when they get mad at each other. Wife will slam a skillet down the stove or go out and slam the door as hard as they can. We call that pot and door cussing. They don't say anything, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
I've seen them do that.
Yes, sir.
I like that little boy asked his daddy. He said, "Daddy, did you go?" He said, "Son, you get up and go to Sunday school with your mama." He said, "Dad, I don't want to go." He said, "Well, you're going whether you like it or not." He said, "Did you go, Daddy, when you was my age?" He said, "Yes, sir, I did every Sunday." He said, "Well, I'll go too. But it probably won't do me no good either." Say what? Cause somebody to stumble. Gossip. Cause somebody to stumble. They say, "Tell me more, tell me more." Say, "I've already told you more than I know."
Yeah.
Don't stop them, amen.
Amen.
Every time you do one of those things, you cause somebody to stumble.
Right.
I was witnessing with a preacher over in Tennessee, no, with a deacon over in Tennessee. And me and this deacon went up to a guy's house. And as Brother Stocker said, we had a deacon-possessed church there too. But we went up to this guy outside his house, and he's lost. We said, "Sir, would you like to be saved?" And the deacon started talking to him, said, "Boy, you know you need to be saved." He said, "One day you're going to hell without Jesus." And that guy reached over my deacon, or my buddy, the deacon, and tapped his shirt pocket like that. He had a pack of cigarettes in his shirt pocket. He smoked the whole time I knew him, the deacon in Baptist church. And he said, "What's that you got there in your pocket?" He said, "Well, that's cigarettes." He said, "It didn't seem like church helped you much." You say, "Brother Jim, that's stupid." No, but that's what he believed. And why in the world would you cause somebody to stumble? People get their little round can tobacco in their back pockets, you cause somebody to stumble. Slip around, do those things, you cause somebody to stumble. Every church has got some stumbling stones. We had a young lady in our church, Brother Mark knows who I'm talking about. She caused many a young lady to stumble, didn't she, brother? She's out now. She stepped out on her husband. She's out now. She's gone. But, boy, she caused some young ladies to stumble. Every church has got some. Are you a corner? Are you a foundation stone tonight or a stumbling stone? You know, in Isaiah chapter 5, he said in his vineyard there, he went out in the vineyard and took out all the stumbling stones. Took out every one of them, cleared the vineyard so it could grow. You be careful if you cause somebody to stumble.
Yeah.
I'm trying my best to get out of here so Brother Mark can preach to you here in a little bit. Amen. Brother, sister, we got folks in our church. I know a guy in our church, he's caused people to stumble. He's caused more people to stumble than anybody we've ever had. I know a lady in our church, she's still in church, but she's hurt more people and caused more people to stumble than anybody I've ever met. Every church has got some. Be careful, young people, what you listen to. You'll cause somebody to stumble. Be careful what you say about the church, about the services. You cause somebody to stumble. Be careful when you have a roast preacher for Sunday dinner. You'll cause somebody to stumble. Well, Brother Ryman, I can interpret that for you. Brother Ryman don't do things like I think he ought to do it. In other words, he didn't do it your way. That's the interpretation of that. You cause somebody to stumble. Every church has got some stumbling stones. And boy, every church has got some millstones. Bible said he'd be better off to hang a millstone around his neck and cast into the ocean than to offend one of his little ones. Every church has got some millstones. You ever see a millstone? Man, those suckers that big around and about that thick. They grind that mill. You couldn't pick one up. You couldn't move it. Say, "What a millstone, Brother Jim." Every church has got some. You know what a millstone will do? It'll hold you down.
Amen.
It'll hold you back, boy.
Amen.
You know what a millstone will do? It'll slow you down.
Yep.
You got a millstone around your neck, you ain't going anywhere fast, I'll tell you that.
Yep.
You know what a millstone will do? It'll take you to the bottom.
Amen.
Every time. It'll take you straight down to the bottom. Did you know you can't run the race with a millstone around your neck?
Right.
You ain't going nowhere. Every church got some. There's no telling some of you, no telling how far your spouse could go if they didn't have you around their neck. No telling how much further they'd be for God right now if you wouldn't hold them back. Some of you men, I'm telling you the truth, your wife do great things for God if it wasn't for the old millstone. You got a guy in our church, I'm telling you, he's one of the best guys we got in the church, but he don't get to do half what he'd like to do because his wife won't come to church at all. No support whatsoever. No telling how far he could go without the millstone. Boy, she holds him down. No telling how far some of these kids could go if somebody didn't hold them back. Mom and daddy, you let them in. Boy, don't you slow them down. Don't you try to cool them off. You let them in.
Amen.
We had a Concord Baptist Church up there in Arkansas. Had a young man in there got saved. Boy, he got on fire for God. He started witnessing to everybody he seen, preaching everywhere he went. They get into church service talking about heaven, and he would just start shouting, "Hallelujah! Glory to God!" And boy, after a while, the deacons finally went to the pastor. They said, "Hey, you need to cool him down a little bit." And you know what the preacher said? He said, "Oh, there's no need for that." He said, "You deacons will take care of that in a few months."
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. How far could they go if it didn't pull them down? Don't hold your spouse back.
Amen.
If they're wanting to serve God, my soul, go with them.
Amen.
If you can't go with them, don't try to hold them down. One of these days, the Lord may kill you and give her a good one. Wouldn't that be something? You be careful. Every time they went in on a church function, there's the old millstone. Well, we can't be at revival this week. We got a ball tournament. They got Wednesday night ball. They got a Sunday tournament. Got a weekend tournament. Can't be at the church tonight. We got a game. Say, what is that? That's a millstone at work.
Amen.
Can't go to camp. Old millstone's got things planned for you this summer.
Amen.
Can't work on the bus. Can't sing in the choir. Millstone's got other plans for you.
Yep.
Can't go on a trip. Can't do anything because the old millstone said, "No, we don't have time."
Yep. Amen.
You be careful, brother and sister.
Yep.
Every time they feel like shouting or singing in church, there's the old millstone.
Amen.
That's her. That's him.
Yep.
Something be done at church. Well, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like going back Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like making it Wednesday night.
Yep.
Say, what is that? That's a millstone.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
We don't have time. We got to make a living. Let somebody, can you get somebody else, preacher? He can. He can get anybody to take your place.
Yep.
Might as well. He can get anybody to do what you do.
Yep.
Say, can you get somebody else? Yeah, the Lord will. He'll get somebody else.
Sure.
He can get anybody to do what we do.
Yeah. Amen.
You ever hear him say that we can replace you with a rock?
Yeah.
Well, he really can. And the Lord can do that.
Amen.
The old millstone.
Right.
And then there's some pretty ones in the church, thank the Lord. There's rhinestones. Boy, they're pretty. Now, they are pretty. They're clear, crystal, and they're beautiful. I mean, you see, they'll sparkle, they'll shine. I like them.
Amen.
They're pretty to look at. They'll make your choir look good. You have some rhinestones in your choir, they'll shine. Boy, everybody, woo-hoo.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
You have rhinestones on the pew.
Yep.
And boy, they'll make the whole pew look good. They'll light up the whole pew.
Yep.
They want their rhinestones.
Yep.
They'll light the whole section up.
Yep.
The only problem is they ain't real.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Rhinestone ain't real.
Right.
Ain't no diamond. It looks like a diamond. But it ain't no diamond. It's imitation. It's kind of like costume jewelry.
Yeah.
It's like something you dress up to be something you're not.
Yeah. Right.
It's kind of like gold plating.
Yeah.
They'll take a piece of steel and put gold plating on it. You look like it. Look at that thing and say, wow, that's pretty. But you scratch it about that deep and you'll see the old rust bucket underneath there.
Yeah.
They're in every church, rhinestones. They've learned the words. They know how to talk. They've learned the action. They know what to say. They know when to raise their hands. They know when to shout. They don't never soul win. They know how to imitate the real thing real good. But they're not real. Now, looking out here tonight, I don't know who's real and who ain't. All of you look good to me. Well, with the exception of a couple. But you all look good to me. You got on good clothes. You're smiling. You look like you're ready to do something for God. They sing. You stand up and shout praise. You all look good to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know who's real and who ain't.
Yeah.
I bet the pastor probably does.
Yeah.
But I know for sure the Lord does.
Yeah.
He know who's real. They're rhinestones. They know how to imitate the real deal. You know something about rhinestones too? You won't ever see one. If you see a rhinestone, there's a whole mess of them there.
Yeah.
You don't ever see one by itself. When you see rhinestones, there's a pile of them.
Yeah.
And they'll usually get together somewhere.
Yeah.
How do you know, Brother Jim, they're not real? brother and sister, because you put a little heat on a rhinestone and it'll crack. You put a little pressure on, rhinestone will crack. It's not a diamond. It just looks like a diamond. They look good, but they ain't real. We've had some in our church, brother and sister, a little pressure come, they cracked. We had some in our church when the heat got turned up from the pulpit, they cracked. I bet you through the years right here, I think Brother Allen's been here around 30 years. Been around 30 years. Brother and sister, I bet he's seen some rhinestones that couldn't take the pressure. I bet he's seen something crack that ain't here tonight. Say, what were they? Oh, they shined for a while, but they wasn't real. They were rhinestones, brother and sister. You put a little heat on them and watch what happens. We've had some at our church. Brother Stalker's had some at his, and I know y'all have had them here too. They're in every church. There's the foundation stones. There's the stumbling stones. There's the millstone. I won't be that one. There's a rhinestone. I sure don't want to be that one. But thank God there's another one. There's the praising stones. Say, what a Jesus Christ triumphal entry in Jerusalem there. They were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. They said, be silent. They said, if these be silent, the rocks would cry out. He said the rocks would shout if we didn't shout. I told you they could replace you with a rock. Amen. You ought to start shouting. They get a rock take your place if you ain't going to shout.
Amen.
Paint up a stone, put it on a pew if you ain't going to do nothing.
Amen.
Praising stones. You know what they do? They shout. They shout at the drop of a hat, boy. They'll shout when nobody else will. They'll shout sometimes when ain't nothing going on. But I like it. That's just the nature of a praising stone. They say, well, they're shouting in the flesh. They're praising stones. That's what they do. They shout whether anybody else is or not. They don't care. You ain't got to sing 20 stanzas of a song to get them stirred up. They come in the door stirred up. They're ready to shout. That's what they came for. They're praising stones. You say, well, they're going to do it in the flesh. You're going to be in the flesh, goob, till the Lord comes back. You might as well shout and enjoy the ride. Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I like them. They'll shout when nobody else is. I like to hear them. I like being around them, amen. They keep their excitement. And you know what they'll do? They'll pump it up if need be. If ain't nothing going on, they'll pump it up. You say, well, I don't like all that pumped up stuff. Well, I don't like all that dead stuff either.
Amen.
The old priest used to preach, he'd go down to the ball game and shout like a Comanche Indian. And he'd come to church and sit like a wooden Indian. I'd rather see somebody praise the Lord. Amen. I like to be around. Those are, what are they? They're the praising stones. They praise the Lord. That's what they came to church for, praise the Lord. You know what they're looking for in this revival this week? Just a chance to praise the Lord. I mean, whether we have revival or not, they're going to shout and praise the Lord. You say, Brother Jim, that's a little fleshy there. Hey, I bet you the Lord won't scold them for it. I bet you he don't scold them for praising him. Amen. What are they? They're praising stone. They love the excitement. They never got over, Brother Gary. They never got over the wonder of being saved. Never got over what God did for them and where the Lord brought them from. Never got past the wonder. Let me ask you tonight. There's some stones right here that are foundation stones, boy. They're limber. They're not hard, set in their own place. They're willing to line up with a book. And brother, sister, then there's stumbling stones that cause many people to stumble. Then there's the millstone that hold people down. And then there's the rhinestones. They shine, but they ain't real. Boy, I got some in my church. I know who they are, too. So they'll smile and greet you. It ain't worth a quarter for the Lord. And then there's the praising stones. Which one are you? Listen, if you don't fit anywhere else, get in on that praising stone. You can do that if you can't do nothing else. But I was wondering tonight, as this church tries to grow, tries to have revival, which one will you be?
Amen.
It's all stand. You need to come tonight? Come on. You need to talk to God? Come on. Mm-mm-mm. I don't want to be a stumbling stone. I don't want to be a millstone hanging around somebody's neck. Definitely don't want to be a rhinestone. I think about somebody singing that thing. Rhinestone cowboy. Wasn't a real one. How about a real Christian? The real deal. You know, kids can spot a fake in a heartbeat. Kids can spot it. And when you are fake in front of the kids, they'll spot it. They'll see that you're fake. And they don't want to follow a fake.